Around the NFL Podcast.
Here comes the rain again.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast, presented by Intuit QuickBooks, official sponsor of the NFL. My name is Dan Hanses, coming to you from a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and the beautiful voice of Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan. Finessing that note. I like it.
When you were a goth lead singer back
love
in the day,
bro.
Were the levels of talent that you were producing vocally up
never,
to par with
never
that?
Never was a goth singer.
Well, you were in a goth band and you were the singer.
We Screamo, I think it was.
No.
Prog rock? Screamo. Prog.
More like,
acid.
More like They Might Be Giants, Dead Milkmen.
There's a birdhouse in your soul.
They Might Be Giants and Dead Milkmen couldn't be any farther removed from each other. They're totally
they both
different.
Sort of just like talk their...
You always bring up the Dead Milkmen when we talk about your band.
Well, that's, you know, that was our...
The Butthole Surfer.
That was our North Star. We did some, you know, some Nirvana, but not publicly. More just... That's just for the basement.
Now, Nirvana famous for their...
The hidden tapes.
Their Pixies-like soft, loud dynamics. So the verses would be very low, building up, then the chorus would explode. You have some recordings where you're kind of doing the build up in the verses, and then those vocal cords, that powerful voice, just goes.
No recordings.
No powerful voice.
No Nirvana demos. Nirvana demos.
I don't know, but no.
You were the singer, though. Correct. Love you, bro.
Yeah,
that will be fine.
But you remember, circling back to this, you do remember, Greg, that we said we would make a beefy donation to a children's charity, I think
right.
it was.
Yeah.
If you just produce the tapes. Children, Greg.
Yeah. I mean, you could do that anyway, so that's on you.
I've been told that there are tapes out there.
Mm.
We're never going to give up the chase. Just so you know.
Always time
never
to help.
Never going to stop.
Children.
I mean, I've learned if there's a bit on this show, it never dies. So I'm aware. We'll be like
this is six, not a
we'll
bit
be like 60 years old. It's like, yeah. Hey, remember that time we went up to Big Bear? The West was crazy that weekend.
It's not a bit. It is a quest, Greg, and it involves the
exactly.
assistance to children. Which this is a right time.
How, it's
in
the
Earth
opposite of a
to do
bit.
That. Right.
Right.
It's the opposite.
It's weird how little you do to help children. You know, other than this.
No, the bit is you preventing.
I take care of my kids.
Yeah, I mean,
all right.
In our house and outside our house.
Friday show, having fun, getting excited. It's all been building to this, the Connie Fox theme song sweepstakes finals. Today, we picked the song. Connie will be here a little bit later. She initially was going to be on the whole show, and then she started sending some video texts out last night about a yacht rock show she was at.
Hmm.
And I'm imagining she hit it pretty hard, and she pulled back. She said, I'm doing one seg. So that's her right. I mean, we're not paying her for this. But I just wanted you and the listeners to know that initially, Connie whole show, Connie goes out late last night, Connie part of the show.
Do I have that right to just raise my hand for maybe 12 minutes of the show?
Quite a move by a host for the guest that's coming in to immediately throw her under the bus while she's not here.
I mean, we went through all this effort to give her own song. I think she could take
fair.
A little heat.
That's fair.
A little heat. Also, Zusa wrote a banger. Here's a headline. I don't know what's up with these headlines. 2020 NFL QB carousel : best/worst case scenario for 15 big names in limbo.
What if?
Heavens to Betsy. That is a mouthful.
What if just once when there was a quarterback overview, somebody slipped in like landscape instead of carousel?
Can I tell you this, Wes?
Not a carousel.
I'm right on that same place with you. And, oh, Greg. Greg just knocked over my bubbly soda onto my leg.
Sorry about that.
Onto the equipment.
Why are you leaving an open can of soda?
What were you attempting to do when you reached over to it towards Dan's body?
Ricky, we might need a paper towel.
Adjust things.
I got tissues.
That will be good.
All right. Just keep talking.
Anyway. Delicious bubbly.
Now you watch out, Wes. It's over near you.
I should have known to put it
over
there.
And I speak with my hands.
Thank you.
Erica brings in a box of ultra thin tissues. That should help with this.
These are the ones that were right by your dorm room bed, Mark, back in college.
Do they make a thick
Correct.
Tissue?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying versus like a hefty, you know, some sort of.
You went to Costco for your Kleenex boxes, I recall.
I don't think Costco even existed when I was in college.
Anyway, I wrote like 1,600 words this piece. Never used the word carousel once. Why does carousel need to be connected to quarterbacks?
It's in like editing 101.
Well,
we do get to use this drop, so that's good. But I did not write carousel. All right, so we're doing that. Also, some news. So let's get to it. Let's do some news.
This, I'll follow up with, because someone who had been seeking quarterback stability for so many years, now you seem to have it with Sam Darnold, but which of those four would you want if you could go after one of them?
What was that? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Which of those...
What is that?
Worst case scenario, I was on live TV with Money yesterday. Didn't hear a word he said, and he's setting me up for a question, and he's continuing to set me up for the question, and I have no idea what he's saying or what's coming.
Why didn't you hear him?
I don't know. I just missed one word.
Like, then
I missed
it just
one word when he was
there.
Setting up, and then I couldn't, based on context clues, track what the question was.
I'm gonna.
I think the victim is the viewer.
It was a bit,
in that scenario.
I think it was me more than anyway, because it was just hamana.
Actually, it's great when you watch any sort of news program and an F up occurs. It's delightful.
Now that gets your attention.
All right, let's get to it and let's start. Oh, big Monday Night Football speculation. Woo-wee! ESPN missed out on Tony Romo, who decided to sign that mega deal to stay at CBS for at least 3 years and perhaps a decade or more. But ESPN, they're not going down without a fight as they look to potentially improve their Monday Night Football telecast. ESPN plans, according to Andrew Marchand of the New York Post, ESPN plans to attempt to acquire Al Michaels from NBC Sports for Monday Night Football. ESPN would like to team Michaels with Peyton Manning in what would be their dream booth, according to sources. Manning is now ESPN's top choice as an analyst after Tony Romo agreed to his deal. Al Michaels is under contract with NBC. However, stranger things have happened in the media landscape. Money talks. I don't know if Al wants to walk or move. We're going to see if anything comes of this, but at the very least, Greg, this is really spicy and a best-case scenario, potentially, I think, for the viewer.
I mean, stranger things have happened in Al Michaels' career when he got traded away from ESPN and ABC.
For Oswald the Rabbit.
Right, so it all would come full circle. There's a little bit of awkward ego and, you know, taking care of a legend in Al Michaels going on here, though, that, like, you can't let Al Michaels know that you would be happy to trade him and replace him with Mike Tirico unless Al's really on board with that. And if I don't think Al would even consider it unless it's like a home run pairing with, like, with Peyton Manning. If they strike out with Peyton Manning, and everyone that's close to Peyton Manning says he wants to work in the front office someday and doesn't seem like he's in a huge hurry to be doing anything that serious right now. So, like, if they don't get Peyton Manning, I wouldn't think they can get Al Michaels.
Well, Peyton has already turned down ESPN twice in previous years.
Right.
There was a source quoted in one of these articles saying he already outplayed Romo every week while they were playing. Why does he want to be compared to Romo every week as a TV guy? Which seems like maybe Peyton Manning doesn't think he can do as well as Tony Romo.
Well, that's the huge X factor, because it's a dream booth in terms of name and prestige, but Peyton Manning's persona and career would change sharply if he went in there and pulled essentially a Jason Witten. Like, he has to know inside. I know you test these games. You go, and I'm sure he's in the past done like a test run announcing, but how do you know if you're Tony Romo? It's the person you're just going to be. If you're not as good as Tony Romo, you're going to start off on the wrong foot 1 week into the assignment.
Well, two things. One, it's about, I think the deal that Romo got probably could lead to Manning being more interested in this job because the money is probably going to be a lot different. This works to Manning's advantage in a negotiation, I would think. He wouldn't get Tony Romo money, probably, but he would get a beefy paycheck. Two, he's a competitor.
He said he might get more than Tony Romo.
$18 million a year.
he's a competitive guy. So the idea that I need a new challenge in my life, he's certainly comfortable on camera and he doesn't shy away from the spotlight. So if the money is right and the spotlight is something that is attractive to him, he also doesn't need to be Tony Romo. Like, I know that's like the idea here. It's like, well, if he can't be Tony Romo, he shouldn't be doing this. All he has to do is be better than Jason Witten. You know, he has to be better than Booger, and he has to be competent. He's got to be kind of like what Gruden was, which some people liked him, some people loved him, some people didn't like him. I think that's more the bar that he needs to meet. But
Gruden was a great TV figure, though. He made people have opinions whether you liked him or
I liked Gruden a lot. Yeah, opinions varied with Gruden.
Right. I think Manning, though, the bigger question is just like, would he want to do it? I don't get the sense, like you mentioned, you know, he would want another challenge. Who knows what he thinks, but my feeling would be he would want a more of a challenge. So this is not like,
well, I didn't say
like,
he would. I said he might.
Right. That like
might
it's very difficult. Place. Like it's a very difficult thing to do, but it's not necessarily like, is his dream. If it was his dream to do it, he would have taken the couple options.
Well, I think getting Eli Manning out of the league helps because I don't think he wanted to announce anything involving Eli's Giants, fading Giants career. But, I you know, competitive is fine. Competitive doesn't necessarily make you an innately good communicator or observer of the game. It's just like when Romo, what Romo's done is, it's not, it's surprising, but it's a delightful surprise because you found out that he can translate what he knows so well to the viewer. So many quarterbacks have gone and tried to do this. Johnny Unitas totally flailed out at CBS way back in the day.
Joe Namath was terrible.
I mean, it's just, it's an extra, you play the game, the fact that you can make the regular, like, a casual viewer understand the game and love it more is a total unknown.
Everyone thought Brett Favre was going to be like the next big TV star, and that never happened.
ESPN could stumble into an even better announcer than Peyton Manning because their second choice is reportedly Kurt Warner, who has done some announcing and has been very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
Philip Rivers has been connected to this, but it certainly seems like Philip Rivers still wants to play.
I think Greg Olson would be great, but he wants to continue to toil.
But the other big part of this, it's fun to talk about because it's saucy, but Al Michaels, who's in his late 70s now, he's under contract for, I believe, 2 more years. Everyone knows that Sunday night is the best game of the week or the best primetime game of the week. He's probably comfortable where he is. How much of a fight does he want to put up here? Would he want to go to Monday, which is a lesser game, and it's not as big in terms of ratings? He loves ratings. Al talks about ratings all the time on the broadcast. He would kind of have to get nudged or get maybe a little saucy package himself to make this work.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of things that have to...
Al's not moving without getting more money.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of things have to fall into place for this to work, but it's a fun idea, and I think... Like I was saying, like I think viewers would be the winners here.
Especially if you got Tirico out there. But wouldn't it maybe change the Monday night lesser game scenario if suddenly you have Al Michaels and Peyton Manning and they?
It would make it a better game to watch, even if the matchup isn't as good.
Well, the crazy thing firstly, they did have a great schedule last year. It was a little up and down.
It's solid.
They ended up having a better schedule than Sunday Night Football. They sort of lucked into having a lot of big games. But he is supposedly, according to this reporting, on his way out the door after the next Super Bowl that NBC has, which I think is 2022, that Tirico was already going to start taking more games, maybe starting this year, that Al would just like have some regular weeks off. So like, it's not going to be as comfortable. It's like a free agent quarterback. Like if you're Tom Brady or you're Al Michaels, you got to go to a whole nother system, a whole nother thing. Like, I don't know.
I hope it happens. Probably won't though. Meanwhile, if you're Booger and Tessitore, you're dying, right? It's like,
well,
this is just the major story of the offseason, I know.
They've been doing college for years, and that they would still be working. But yeah, it's got to be the ugliest thing to sit around and ponder that you're like everyone's talking about you being replaced by someone.
Right, you're kind of like the afterthought. All right, well, so we'll track that and see how it all plays out. We had a trade that went down shortly after we did our show on Wednesday. The Los Angeles Chargers, well, it's a tentative trade, tentatively agreed to a trade of tackle Russell Okung to the Carolina Panthers in exchange for guard Trey Turner. Rap Sheet reported this. The trade of two offensive linemen, two starters, is an interesting one. Wes, why did it happen?
Well, if the Panthers had the highest sack percentage allowed to edge rushers last year. And if you watched their games, that comes as no surprise. Their tackles were terrible. Also, I think as much as people criticize this trade, because Trey Turner has been probably a more reliable, better player than Russell Okung, you have no idea what Matt Rhule, the new coach, wants in his guards. It could be that Trey Turner doesn't fit that system, especially at $9 million or whatever. So go get your left tackle, and they must have information that Russell Okung's recent health problems will not be problems in 2020.
I just think, like, Trey Turner being much younger gives the Chargers, to me, I give the win to the Chargers, and I think that Tom Telesco pulled off a nice deal. And I read that from the Carolina side that it was Pat Meyer, their O-line coach, who used to be with the Chargers, who lobbied hard for this trade. So it tells you your assistant coaches have a lot of power under Matt Rhule to help shape the roster.
Well, plus the Panthers, they're trying to trade anyone on their roster by some reports, including like Christian McCaffrey. I think they're willing to totally blow it up. And Russell Okung's $13.5 million this year. Like, they, it's a reminder that Matt Herney, who was the GM, drafted a left tackle and Greg Little in the second round last year. And now that pick's just kind of like a waste.
It's tentative because all deals are not official until the start of the new league year on March 18th. But this looks like it's happening, barring some type of medical situation. In other Chargers news, Austin Eckler got paid. Rap Sheet reported that the running back agreed to a four-year, $24.5 million contract extension that includes $15 million in guaranteed money. ESPN had it first. Good for Eckler, Mr. Sessler, guy who went from undrafted free agent to a key to their offense, especially when Melvin Gordon's holdout extended last season. He established himself, Eckler did, as a real playmaker behind.
Yeah, I guess it's like, so Melvin Gordon out the door. And what I like is that, again, Tom Telesco and the rest of the coaching staff identified that Eckler was just better when he was in there alone. That when they were together, he was not the same guy. I love the fact that he's they got a good deal. Number one, $24.5 million is not a bad deal at all. He's still 24, and it kind of reminds me, I'm not saying they're the same player, of watching Priest Holmes when he was with the Ravens, and you could see his numbers weren't all there, but you could see a player who was about to blow up. And when he went to Kansas City and they isolated him, allowed him just to do his own thing, he had three straight 1,400-yard rushing seasons with 206 catches over a three-year span. And I think that Eckler is a dude that can do it all, and I love that they are going with him over Melvin Gordon.
Holmes is like, he's the forgotten superstar of that era. It didn't last very long, but he was one of the very best running backs in the league for a stretch there.
This is a testament to development, sort of like James White with the Patriots. You come into the league and you're not a very good runner, and then you turn yourself into what I believe is the best passing down back in football last year.
I mean, he had 92 catches for 993 yards. Like, Robbie Anderson's right. Never had anything close to that, and he's about to get paid triple this.
And 8 touchdowns receiving. That is double the amount of Christian McCaffrey. Alvin Kamara turned 81 catches into 533 yards and 1 touchdown. Eckler turned 92 catches into 993 yards and 8 touchdowns. And I know Kamara was injured, but that is the guy we thought who was the best passing down back in the NFL last year, and Eckler played circles around him.
There was some chatter that why did he take such a team-friendly deal? But that's the problem with being undrafted. You kind of get hurt on both ends. Like he hasn't made much money in his career. He could have been a restricted free agent and gone out and maybe got an offer sheet that was better. But I don't blame him. You would not want to play one more season without a ton of guaranteed, like, life-changing money if you're him.
In other news, Trent Williams, the holdout left tackle, former All-Pro of the Redskins. It just doesn't look like it's going to happen with Williams in Washington. And now the Redskins are allowing him to seek a trade. Two teams have popped up that make sense. Our teams, Mark, the Cleveland Browns. According to the Cleveland Plain Dealer report, the Browns will explore a trade for Williams. And The Athletic reported that the Jets are one of the teams also pursuing the left tackle. He is, when healthy, one of the best in the league, Greg, as a blindside protector, but he's been out of the league for a whole year now, essentially. He's in his 30s. There's some risk here, but it makes sense for a team that needs an instant upgrade, right?
There's some risk, but he's played at like a borderline Hall of Fame level when he's played, and I think from other players, like when they talk about the best tackles in the game, they sometimes say Trent Williams is like number one, like the number one most ferocious guy to try to get past. And the back injuries are a concern and the missed game.
What about the brain tumor surgery?
Right. It's that's all.
Couldn't find a helmet that would work last year.
That is all like a concern, yes. But you know how good he is. And the fact that tackles are lasting longer and longer, like it's a position to age. 31 is not old to me. The back injuries are a concern, but that's someone you could have for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, the Browns and Jets pick 10th and 11th, and I just wonder what the asking price is because...
First-round pick.
I guess. I mean, Dwayne Brown, also 31 when he was traded, that was a second and a fifth.
Garrett Fuller does not think there's any way they're getting the first. In fact, he said the Redskins cannot believe they're getting a first-round pick.
Second and a fifth sounds...
Second. I mean, I'm just saying, if you're possible. Cleveland or the Jets... And
both of them have been reportedly interested. The Athletics said the Jets are one of the teams interested.
I get it. I'm just saying you're looking at a really good tackle draft...
Said that.
And you're going to give away the 10th pick for a 31-year-old player. Now, if
32
you're
gonna, by the time
32,
the season
if
starts.
You get 5 awesome years out of him, I don't care what the cost is. If you have a Hall of Fame level left tackle for 5 years, first round pick is fine.
And even if he's great for 2 years or even one and then he's okay for a few years, this is such a big year for both the quarterbacks of the Jets and the Browns. They need year three for all these guys from that draft class is going to be important. Lamar Jackson is the only one that I'm like, don't have to worry about him at all. But I think they want to see big progress here, you know, and I think to get a left tackle that they can trust and plug and play there, I get it.
The trick is he'll be the high, you know, he's not going to do it without becoming the highest paid tackle in the league. That's the whole point of the trade. That's the reason why he's not going back to the Redskins. Apparently they kind of settled the off-field stuff, but he says, you got to make me the highest paid tackle in the league. So it's a big commitment, but it's what are the Jets doing with all this cap space? They got $80 million in cap space. Just spend it.
I would be surprised if somebody makes him the highest paid tackle in the league. I think you're really downplaying the risk here.
Jadeveon Clowney wants to be among the highest paid players in the league, and Ralph Vacchiano of SNY reports that the impending free agent is, quote, interested in playing for the Giants. Clowney is... what, top three on your free agent list, scientists?
Yeah,
he's
right.
Number three, I believe.
With Chris Jones kind of taken off because he was tagged or reported that he's going to be tagged.
As we talked about back in Indianapolis, Mark, another situation like Trent Williams where you're going to have to pay top of the line potentially for a guy that, I don't know, the injury risk and the production, is it going to be there, is going to match up with the salary?
Well, Vacchiano... did question whether the G-men would be willing to part with $22 to $23 million per season for that kind of a player. Does that feel like a Dave Gettleman type move?
Erica, yes. Can you tell Colleen that
you think
her,
it does?
He's
we
the
can
hog
hear
of
her
the
through the glass.
Yeah,
you can hear her laughing.
She's
yes,
so
absolutely.
Loud.
Really?
Yeah, we can hear her cackling and yelling.
If she's going to be honking that loud, it might as well be on a mic. Be useful.
You know? I can't listen to what you guys are saying. She's like,
Colleen, stop talking.
I was on a yacht.
Our producer can focus.
Yeah,
okay?
She was like, oh. Yeah,
yacht rock. Fun.
Anyway, go on, guys.
I have nothing more to add.
All right.
I don't know. You guys?
Yeah, he does seem like a Gettleman guy. He's the hoggest of the mollies, isn't he?
I think Gettleman is just going to spend terrible money after terrible money. Yes, everything is going to... I mean, Clowney's good. I think they're going to spend it on Leonard Williams. He's going to be tagged or get a huge deal. And they're just going to spend all the money because they know they're all going to be fired in a year if it doesn't
turn out. The Seahawks are a smart organization. And if they're not... going to be aggressive to pay the guy, and they are desperate for defensive line. And
they are reportedly pretty in the Clowney business. They want him.
I guess we'll see. We'll see if that actually plays out. But if they don't put up much of a fight, if I was a lesser GM, I'd be like, why aren't the Seahawks wanting to keep this guy?
Feels like a 90s blockbuster movie. We want to be in the Clowney business.
Finally, in the green blotter, mentioned the Jets. My boy Quinnen Williams, who's, by the way, by all accounts, a really good dude and a down-to-earth, sweet guy, just finished up his rookie year, the number 3 overall pick last year, arrested at LaGuardia Airport. First of all, I can't imagine anything worse than being in a LaGuardia Airport jail cell, the worst airport in the world, and now you're in a jail cell in the worst airport in the world. All right. According to Pro Football Talk, Port Authority police revised earlier statement now say Quinnen Williams did not have ammunition near a gun at time of airport arrest. Well, that's great. But
that's a big deal.
I just think it's pretty crazy that this happens occasionally. How are these guns in the luggage? And why are we taking guns on planes? You can't take a gun on a plane, Quinnen.
I immediately thought of plaques because of New York's harsh gun laws. And there could be repercussions here. But if you're a millionaire athlete, I think you're more interested in security than you are if you're a podcast host.
Oh, yeah, I agree. But you also, I'm not saying I'm judging him for having a gun. And it's a licensed gun. I don't think Plax is licensed.
It's licensed in Alabama, not in New York. That was the problem.
Well, that is a problem. But it's more the idea of there's pretty solid, in terms of common sense laws, that everyone knows. And one of them is that you can't take a gun on a plane.
How does it happen? Personally, if I were walking around, what was the type of weapon? AK something?
It wasn't an AK.
Well, I mean, I would fact check whether or not I'm allowed to get onto an aircraft with that before.
I mean, I'm not a gun guy either, but it was not an AK.
Well, I don't know. That sounds like an assault
rifle.
The gun laws are so strict that difference that he doesn't have the gun. He didn't have any ammunition in the bag, according to the revised press release. Could change what the minimum sentence is. Like, supposedly the minimum sentence, if you do have ammunition and the gun, is prison. You know, it's years of
three
prison.
Years.
But Mike Garafolo pointed out Daquan Bowers had literally the exact same story happen to him. A Bucks defensive end, LaGuardia, gun, ammunition in the bag, but not in the gun, and he didn't. He faced a hefty fine, but he ended up not facing any jail time and not any league suspension.
By the way, worst airport, I'm going LAX with literally no reservations.
Really?
I cannot.
Nah, bro.
Whenever anyone says to me,
you're just wrong. You're wrong.
Whenever anyone says to me, can you come pick me up at LAX?
A wave of
trauma goes through me. I don't want to deal with it.
LaGuardia
is like third world.
LAX is awesome.
And it is not awesome.
Some gates are much, much better than others at LAX, but LaGuardia is a disaster.
Yeah. LAX is overmaxed. Like, they need help, and they're trying to address it.
Good LAX talk, guys.
Go
LaGuardia
stand in line
care.
In Logan, Boston Logan. You're in security lines for 3 hours. No matter
that's
time
wicked
of day.
Terrible.
I'm always surprised by how quickly I get through security at
LAX. That's right.
Sessler with a takedown.
I'm saying what I really cannot stand is
it's LAX. Bring your guns. We love it.
Like, hey, you want to Uber? Out of LAX here. Get on a hideous bus packed with 460 people's bags up at the front of the bus. Everyone is sweaty and angry. It takes you 17 minutes to get to this ridiculous parking lot 3 miles away, and then you got to wait in line for 30 minutes to get in an Uber. I mean, it is one of the least functional exit strategies of any airport I've ever experienced in my life.
Take the cab, bro. If the NFL is playing, just take the cab. You don't have to wait, you know. Pay a little extra.
When they're paying.
I think they've done a nice job with their Uber.
All right, that'll be fine. That's
I honestly
you know
do.
What? I'll probably be frisked next time I try to get out of that airport.
And speaking of Jets defensive lineman in trouble, Mo Wilkerson arrested for DWI, possession of marijuana, and possession of drug paraphernalia. He got arrested last June also. Oh, man. He went from one of the best defensive linemen in football to completely out of the league and... it's just sad.
I think Curb Your Enthusiasm has shown you what a few years with the Jets does to the fans, but also maybe some of these defensive people.
Perhaps. That's what's happening in the news. All right, I guess because it was decided by Phil Spector that we have to spin the carousel. Here's the headline. 2020 NFL QB Carousel, best / worst case scenario for 15 big names in limbo. This was the germ of this.
The germ.
Article idea came out of in real time on this podcast last week, and I just counted out how many quarterbacks that we knew had some type of state of limbo. And it actually grew since then. I think it was 13 the count then. It got up to 15. We got Jimmy G involved now.
I'm going to pitch a ranking of airports to Ali Bun Party after this.
Airport carousel.
You've worked carousel, with him for 7 years and you can't get his last name right still. At some point, that's disrespectful.
Ouch. I'm waiting to see the luggage carousel rankings.
Nailed it. So I went through these 15 quarterbacks and I laid out a best case scenario, a worst case scenario, and then a most likely scenario. So it is striking that there's this many guys that have some level of indecision around them. And then some people on Twitter, some people say I miss people. I left Josh Rosen off the list, but you know, whatever. Come on, Josh Dillon's done stuff.
Who's going to make him their starter?
Flacco made the list, which I felt was generous. So you could have knocked
him down. He's a former Super Bowl MVP. Marcus Mariota, I did not put on the list. But I mean, yeah, I mean, you could say Marcus should be on this list. But
I think Marcus,
you know, I don't have much
little
respect for the game of Mr. Mariota.
He's a factor in one of these other guys' names, but we'll get to him.
Okay, so how do we want to attack this, boys? Was there any names? Go ahead.
Well, I'll also start because Mariota was in the news today related to the third guy on your list, Derek Carr. And I think somewhere between your best case scenario for Derek Carr, which is just, you know, they believe in him and that he can move in to the house he bought in Vegas. And the worst case, which is Brady arriving and Carr is just for sale, is a middle ground where Mike Garafolo reports they're more likely to go after kind of a veteran backup, go the Tannehill 2019 Titans route. And he mentioned specifically that they are definitely interested in Marcus Mariota and that they might have competition for Mariota. I think some teams out there probably look at Mariota and think, hey, if he comes at a bargain price, this is absolutely a guy worth taking a swing on. Mayock had Mariota as his number one quarterback in that draft. Gruden sung songs about him on, you know, the QB, what was that show? Whatever it was, QB Hangout with John.
That was the name.
Close.
Grudes in the Cubes.
That's what it should have been. Grudes in the Cubes.
And so that kind of is like a 1B where Carr is somewhere in between. Like
that
a guy who
is
like
awful
on his trail.
Derek Carr and Marcus Mariota as my two choices.
So Carr's the starter and Mariota's the guy.
Hello, 7-9.
If things go poorly, at least we have another guy.
But you're Derek Carr, you say bring it on.
Yes, that would be the new best case scenario.
Or it also means the Raiders know they can't get Tom Brady.
I threw in as the most likely scenario that they do stick with him, but is Mike Mayock for a second year at the controls and he's this draft maestro? Is he going to be able to resist taking a quarterback that's his guy? I kind of see a young guy coming in and that being a major issue for Mr. Carr unless he plays out of his mind in 2020.
I mean, I think this has been an extremely annoying and uncomfortable month for Derek Carr, and it's only getting worse.
He bought that house in Vegas.
Next door to Gruden.
I mean,
next door to Gruden.
Oh, my.
Who didn't see that as trouble coming?
He goes to the new Allegiant Stadium in Vegas and he breaks ground or whatever. He cuts the ribbon. I didn't check out the telecast of it.
Yeah, he was part of that whole thing.
He's trying so hard to just ingratiate himself and put him into this team's future. But we'll see if he really is.
Well, it's because of like the specifics of some of these reports, because there's just this vacuum of news. There was a report from a longtime Raiders beat writer that Mark Davis is not a fan of Derek Carr. That if it was up to Mark Davis, that he might be part of the reason these stories are getting out there, that, you know, he wants something better. Like, he's sick of it. And so now you know the owner, who, by the way, brought you to Vegas for this dog and pony show, wants you out of there. I'd be annoyed.
Well, the worst scenario with the draft in Vegas is, of course, Derek Carr will probably be there, you know, with Raiders fans and all this other stuff. And
wearing his full uniform.
We've seen this happen before, where, like, quarterback is at, you know, draft location and draft location team attached to that draft location with the Bears.
You're referring, of course, to the Bears draft party with Mike Glennon and mezzanine level with fans.
I just think that we're, you know, this worst month for Derek Carr could become a worse 2 months for Derek Carr.
Even worse scenario would be like if Joe Burrow or one of the picks like has a rough night in Vegas the night before and like falls off one of those boats on the way to getting drafted.
Where is it? The Bellagio?
They're taking a little boat up to the front.
Where is the draft at? Does anybody know?
I do not. I mean, I know where it's in Las Vegas.
Oh,
that's as far as I can tell you.
I meant it like a location. Ricky, do you know?
Vegas.
Cool. She's like listening to music back there, barely paying attention to the show.
So it's like a normal.
All right, spin the carousel, Ricky. Somebody else want to bring up? I have 15 quarterbacks here.
I got one.
Okay, Wes.
It is at the Bellagio.
The one I think, here's one I think that your analysis is spot on.
Okay, good.
The most likely scenario for Jacoby Brissett. His days as a starter are numbered. If it's not Rivers, it will be someone else. And my sense from sitting there at the press conference with Chris Ballard is that they love Jacoby Brissett, the person, but they're ready to bring in another quarterback. And if it's not Philip Rivers, then you're going back to the Frank Reich, Nick Foles connection, or even Jason Michael, their tight ends coach, used to be the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach for Marcus Mariota in the Titans.
Ooh.
And if you bring in a Foles or a Mariota, it would not surprise me if Brissett hangs on to the job and against all odds hangs on to the job. But if you bring in Rivers, I think he's done.
I think it's a good point to note that Brissett could be there with whoever they bring in because so much of his money's guaranteed and they have
he's a great backup.
So much cap room. I mean, they're paying him starter money, so that's uncomfortable. But if they're stuck with it anyways, why create another hole on your roster? I believe it's
more than like
over
15 million?
13 million or 14 million.
I mean, all he did was do exactly what they asked when they were thrown into total chaos. And
I mean, speaking of cap space, they are right behind, I believe, the Dolphins for the most in the league. So they could probably afford to carry that for the short term.
He has $13 million in 2020 pay still coming.
I think attached to that, the Nick Foles scenario is intriguing to me just because.
Spin it.
Well, it's spin that thing. Spin that wheel. It's a wheel. Doesn't sound like a wheel. Sounds
it's a carousel.
Sounds like a war zone. What do you do with Nick Foles? Because I think he's completely untradeable. Colleen, wrestle her away from the motherboard, please.
Motherboard.
Oh yeah,
I love it.
What is Colleen doing back there?
It is undetermined. I mean, I
it's
can't
one
get a beat
thing
on
if you show
I'm
up
saying.
For your segment. That makes sense. But why not?
I mean,
just
I
come
told
in?
Her to
why
come about to 20 of.
Okay.
And she did.
Okay.
Right on time, even a little bit early. But she seems to be in good spirits.
Yeah, she's feeling good. She's saying how that she doesn't have to take an Uber from LAX and that a black car picks her up.
Well, exactly. See, I am from the earth and I'm a normal person.
From the proletariat.
Or grew from the ground. Like a tulip.
She's back there building that puzzle.
All right, Nick Foles, go ahead.
I think you got to keep him because I'm a huge Gardner Minshew guy and I think he's the better quarterback. Yeah, I think he's the dude. Come on. But
I know.
You have to... We live in a world where these second-year quarterbacks, like, look at last season. Look where we were last year with Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. Things can change quickly. And look at Nick Foles. Things change quickly. Suddenly, your career is in free fall. And you mentioned that if they shipped him to a disastrous team with a bad offensive line, he starts to rethink about retirement again. And it's like, what is a good landing spot for a quarterback that I personally love? Again, I love Nick Foles, the person, great guy. Like, Philly's the best place that I could pick for
Indianapolis.
Oh, my God. What a soap opera that would be.
Indianapolis would be good. Tampa would be good.
As a starter, though?
Maybe. I mean,
that salary.
Or a backup. Well, here's the thing. You're right. He is untradeable at that salary, which is $15.1 million. I mean, he has a much
bigger... But they had to eat the money. The Jets have to eat half the money?
If they trade him... They actually get some cap savings. They get $3 million in cap savings, and they get rid of it. And they solve sort of the problem. If they have him on their roster, they can't cut him. Like, cutting is not an option. So I could see a scenario where a team, maybe even in April, after everything dies down a little bit, like the Bucks or the Chargers or some team that wants a backup, says, if you pay half his salary, like, we'll take Nick Foles for nothing. And that's all Tannehill was. Tannehill, they cut his... The Dolphins were so willing to get rid of Tannehill. They paid half his salary, and they gave him away for nothing. It was a 6th to 7th round swap. I think Foles would be a great pickup at that price because, like, it's all about buy low, sell high. Like, he still has value.
It was a terrible year. He had a terrible year. He got injured. He didn't play well. But I guess with Foles, like, maybe he's never going to be just the guy for a team. But I wouldn't use last year as the be-all, end-all in terms of deciding.
Well, you can look at all his other years when he's been put in there as a starter for more than a month, and it's
either
injury or
it's... Well, he had a year when he had, like, 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. I mean, he had one big year, and then he had one huge postseason.
I would be very dubious about selling him to a fan base or to my own coaching staff as your starting quarterback.
Right. Needs to be in the right system, and I don't think... He's going anywhere as an unquestioned starter. It's basically just how desperate is Jacksonville to get rid of him. I think they might be pretty desperate to get rid of him, and then you can get him for cheap.
And of all the best-case scenarios I have on this list, his is kind of the softest. I think the best case for him is that he is in a camp battle with Minshew, and I think based on what we heard at the Combine, Wes, a point that you've made that where the league's going with quarterbacks, it just feels like Minshew would be the heavy favorite to win that job. And that feels like his best-case scenario right now.
Yeah, he's tricky for a trade to another team. If you're an established quarterback for another team, Nick Foles is such a good guy that you're like, okay, that's cool. And then you realize that the media is going to try to have him taking your job every other day because he's Nick Foles' former playoff MVP.
Right.
I think Philip Rivers is an interesting guy to talk about.
Spin it.
Spin it.
Stop talking to Colleen. She can hear you.
Because he's probably going to end up with the Colts. That's what I hope for. I love Philip Rivers.
It's like my two sons last night, Jack and Harrison, for whatever reason, decided they wouldn't go to bed last night. They just decided to, like, party and talk to themselves. And all of a sudden, it was like 10:30 at night. It was 2 hours past when they usually go to bed. And there's really nothing you can do. You can't make them go to sleep. That's how you end up in jail. So you basically keep going back there. And you're like, go to sleep. It's time to go to sleep. I will take away this in the morning. You won't do this weekend. But you can't make them. And you just kept on hearing them at the end of the hallway. That's what it is again now with Erica and Colleen. I feel like I'm right back in yesterday.
You know what they used to do back in the
same situation.
You know what people used to do back in the day? You know, slip them a little like
Mickey.
A little whiskey, yeah.
Actually, Mickey was for a different reason.
We'll take whiskey back here.
Whiskey and, oh, you're talking.
One of you apparently has plenty of it in you.
That would be a thing. You take whiskey and you put it in the gums of the child.
Right.
There you go.
But that's, you know, they say to do that for airline travel as well.
I wonder with Rivers.
Bringing it back.
If Indianapolis didn't happen, is there a chance that he doesn't get an attractive job? And that he does consider a Monday Night Football option? Because I don't think Philip Rivers wants to be competing with someone anywhere. I don't think he wants to be entering a scenario where it's like him and, hey, but we might draft someone in the top five. Like, if the Colts didn't work out, is there a chance he could retire?
I think Tampa would jump on that.
I do, too.
But I see him as a locked and loaded starter with someone.
I hope so.
Even if it's not the Colts.
I hope so.
Does he want to be an announcer, or is that just being thrown about?
Supposedly ESPN had some interest, but no one's
it's nice to have options.
Verified that.
I did include Flacco on this, and he is a guy. He would be a guy I'd be very concerned. Just like pie in the sky is a best case scenario. I thought Arians could be like, oh, he's kind of like Carson Palmer. He's a big veteran guy that could throw the ball downfield and all that stuff.
It is amazing to see Jimmy G second on this list.
Yeah, it is pretty wild. But that Mark, it did cause me to do a search of Flacco's aborted Johnny Unitas biopic screenplay, which you wrote around the league post on in 2000.
Not only I, but we, you know, the around the NFL team was
all over this story.
Trenchant beat here. Yeah. We were all over this. And Wes, you know, months later wrote a sizzling follow-up, which got into why that movie vehicle did not happen.
Wes, why did the Unitas Flacco biopic fall apart?
There was a brother feud. John Unitas' son, John Jr., was angry at Joe Unitas, who I believe was his son from a second marriage, for this film. And
tough sitch.
John Jr. said of Joe in this movie, "It is awful. The guy's a turd."
Whoa.
Who, Flacco?
No.
John Elway?
Joe Unitas.
Oh.
He never talked to me. He never talked to any of the first five children. He's a guy that's just making money off my father.
Oofa.
You know where I'd send Flacco? Although the Falcons just re-upped with Matt Schaub, which I don't get. Why is Matt Schaub still the backup to Matt Ryan? This bothered me like 3 years ago, and it goes on.
Came in and looked pretty good in that one game last year, I got to say.
I mean, but Flacco could land behind someone like Matt Ryan, and I'd be like, nice landing spot for both sides.
Or he lands at the old, you know, Screen Actors Guild Theater, just down the road. I mean, when I think charisma and leading man qualities, I think Joe Flacco.
Yeah, and he was just going to do the football part, right? He wasn't going to actually play
Unitas. I thought
he was going to
play Unitas.
I thought it was just for the on-field stuff.
I mean, Unitas was...
I don't think he was... He has, see, his father...
Oh, it's so
Joe
much
Flacco's
less interesting
own father,
if he's not,
no, in the article that I wrote, Joe Flacco's own father said this is a terrible idea.
Joe
and he's mentioned
dull.
This. My son has no charisma, and he's dull.
Oh, no, I think he was going to play. But you know what? Johnny Unitas was kind of known as, you know, famously taciturn, no charisma, you know, not a lot of...
Wait, no.
That's not how you...
Well,
you don't want to build a movie for that. Come on.
Come on, Greg.
I think it was just unfair.
Let's take one more spin.
Don't trust Greg.
Okay.
Because I feel like, you know who's gotten forgotten in all this? What is happening to Jameis Winston if the Bucs really do want to move on? Which it sure sounds
tough market.
Like, it really sounds like the Bucs and Arians are just kind of over it.
Another backup. Why? He is not a starter at this point. Although he does these amazing things, but he also...
I could see him in a very messy backup situation with Derek Carr in Vegas. That just...
Ooh.
Seems like something John Gruden will just like love the chaos of it all.
Like that.
I would... take Winston in that battle over Carr.
Yeah.
I think he'd end up winning out.
And Tom Brady's at the top of the list for a reason. He's the big domino. Everything falls after Brady. There was a report this week that he finally spoke on the phone with Belichick.
Didn't go well, right?
It didn't go well.
People.
Woo-wee. I don't know.
Wes, oh, you know, come on, Greggy. Come on, Greggy. You got to handle this. Don't let this get messy, Greg.
It would matter if it went really well. That would be a, we'd be a different universe.
I told you, I'm hanging out in Jarrett Stidham Corner, and there are open lots available. There's just tumbleweeds going through. Like, we're going to have some businesses eventually, but, like, the land is cheap. Jarrett Stidham Corner, like, come on over. All Let's right. ride with Stidham.
This is, you know what? It's disappointing to hear that, Greg. This is the greatest player of all time. He's brought so much joy in millions of New Englanders. That they are going to do Tom Brady dirty like this?
They're not doing him
dirty.
Now,
your organization is not always, they have not always comported
themselves
well. It's
not my organization.
But if they botch
this
and they make this an ugly divorce, shame on them.
Yeah.
This is Tom Brady.
I mean, there is no...
This isn't Drew Bledsoe.
There is no scenario where he's playing for another
team.
This
isn't Tony Eason.
And it's not in some way ugly.
Right.
He wanted the freedom to choose his own team. That's why they said they haven't really been that worried about him going out and testing other teams. Because, like, that's what he wanted. He can go do it, and we'll see.
Well, but it looks like Belichick is giving him a little bit of a what for, as damage.
He's not going to – I don't think Belichick's going to kiss the ring, and I don't think Tom Brady would expect him to.
He should, though. I'm sorry. This guy is different than everybody else.
Think Belichick likes some FaceTiming with the Titans coach months after the Titans defeated Brady in the playoffs?
Yeah, that's his teammate, former teammate.
Yeah, but it's, come on.
I don't know. Belichick doesn't even probably understand how to connect a FaceTime call.
How about hanging out with that Fallon character?
Yeah.
Little eyebrow raising.
I got you on that. Real quick before we get Connie in here, best case, worst case, most likely for Garoppolo. Best case, Brady reports are just smoke. Garoppolo is the man in San Francisco. Worst case, Niners land Brady. Garoppolo gets shipped out of town. I said it for a first-round pick. What do you think Garoppolo's value would be on the open market for as a trade?
That's
a first and more.
This year's different because it's a buyer's market.
Right, what team?
The Patriots. I mean, best case scenario is he leads the Patriots to a Super Bowl.
What about Jarrett Stidham Corner?
Tom Brady.
What happened to Jarrett Stidham Corner?
Hey, look, if you
I wouldn't
have other
count
options,
on any buildings really sprouting up around Stidham Corner.
Just wait
so
and
look
see.
How quickly you're just on Jarrett's corner for literally like 2.5 minutes.
That's weird. I mean, the weeds are going to stay.
If Jimmy G is open and available and not too expensive, sure, then you're right.
How about Jimmy G to the Colts? Why are you signing up with an age-old Philip Rivers? You could have Jimmy G.
I think that makes more sense.
Remember when Stidham played last year and then Belichick was like, I better go sign Cody Kessler.
I better sign Cody Kessler for the next month or two.
Why is Cody Kessler not on this list?
He didn't make the cut. Neither did Geno.
Wow.
Yeah, I stuck it to Greg on that.
I mean, it would have been weird if he was on there.
All right, let's bring her in. Let's wheel her in. Who knows the condition she's in right now. What a night she had, according to some of these texts we got. At the yacht.
The yacht club?
It was a yacht rock concert.
Erica really doing a bang-up job at producing
Erica.
Colleen's... knocking chairs over, carrying her own chairs, a tiny box.
Look at Greg. Look at this gentleman. Look at this white knight on his horse. Greg wheeling took the headset off.
And this is happening on International Women's Day, that Greg is lifting a chair over Dan to give to Colleen. Very nice.
Erica's just passed out at the board right now.
That is. I believe
Erica's in like a soft contract holdout right now. Don't even know.
Yeah.
She's at work, but she's not really working. All right.
Get this. What time does the pod start? 1:30?
What are you doing? You're rubbing a microphone on the podcast, Wes. Stop it.
Doesn't sound good, Wes. Doesn't sound good.
This is a mess.
All right, here we are.
What? Yeah.
Colleen, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
This is the grand finale.
I feel like I walked into a trap, but it's fine.
In what way?
Because you were like, well, you could just come for the last segment or if you want. And I'm like, yeah, cool. That's great. And then I hear you've been disparaging me.
Yeah, I buried you a little bit.
Well,
no, I just said that
it's a bad job by the host to disparage.
You guys should have came to the Yacht Rock concert last night.
Yeah, it did look
where was
a lot of fun.
At the Wiltern.
It was
amazing.
Was it real bands or was it covers?
It was a cover band.
Oh, that's fun.
I thought you were on a boat, a physical boat.
No, but I felt like I was at points.
Okay.
That Christopher Cross song was taking me places.
Man, I went a lot of places.
Last time we saw Colleen was at the Waffle House at around 4:50 in the morning in Indianapolis. Wearing the same outfit, I believe.
No, I just wear the sweatshirt a lot.
Okay.
Connie, let's just above the treetops, as they say, as we now have, we reach the finals and we're going to be choosing your own song. You've had a career that's really gone through the roof. There's no glass ceiling with Connie Fox.
Oh,
and on National Women's Day, we celebrate what you've been able to do and build
international
a career.
International. All women around the world.
Global Women's Day. This has to be near the top of your accomplishments that you're about to have your own song.
It's this, between this and having NFL Network live from my old neighborhood bar for game day morning.
Oh, like, wow. That's
like
pretty cool.
1A, 1B.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's better.
What was the bar?
New Wave.
If anybody wants to, just a taste of the Connie life.
Yeah.
Connie and Gonzo, I'm sure, spent many hours.
Our pictures on the wall in there.
Head over to New Wave. Get your picture in front of the picture of Connie. Mm-hmm. And Gonzo, and
it's a great
send it
spot.
Our way, and we'll shoot a retweet.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
What are our chances of doing a live hit next year from the Irish Times? I would say probably low.
Is that our home bar?
All right.
I'm just, you know,
so,
get a chance as any around here.
We have five finalists, and this is how we're going to do this. Of the five finalists, and Erica, this is when we're going to reveal the names of the composers. And it would be great, potentially even get the winner on the phone if we can make that happen. I don't know if that's a possibility. But we're going to listen to each of the songs one more time. And now I don't want anyone to reveal what their choice is. When I say, everyone write down your choice, 1 through 5. There's 5 finalists. And then I will, Ricky will also write down her choice. So it's the 5 of us in the studio that get one vote. Ricky gets a vote, and the listeners voted this week. In fact, 25,000 people voted.
Whoa. It's 2,500.
That's incorrect.
2 million people voted.
2.5 million people voted.
It's remarkable.
And whatever the number was, you guys came out in droves to pick a song, which is funny and great. So they get a vote. So the listeners get a vote. Erica gets a vote. The heroes get a vote. And Colleen, honorary hero as well, gets a vote. So
all
that
right,
is
great.
All right, 4 plus 1 is 5.
Droves.
1 is 6.
It's 7. No tie 7. Is necessary.
Nailed it.
Right?
No, it still could be a tie. You know?
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's right.
But here's how you break the tie. If we have a tie, since it's Colleen's song, Colleen, you will choose.
Ooh,
if you
okay.
Have to. It could be 3 songs in a tie, a deadlock, right?
Pocket veto.
Have you talked about the prize yet?
Could it be 3 songs in a deadlock?
Wait, there's numbers 7 wise? Total votes?
Yes.
Yeah. If,
how could you have a 3-way tie with 7?
If 3-2-2-1?
2-2-1.
All right. Well, I should not be answering math questions.
I'm flying. I'm not in last place right now. Yes. Colleen, we had talked about what will be the grand prize for the winner of this contest, and why don't you let the listeners know?
Well, there can only be one amazing prize given out, and that, of course, has to be a puzzle. I mean, if you guys are writing these songs, the best gift I could give to you is one of the puzzles that I completed.
Yeah, just not any puzzle.
No.
It's a special puzzle. And what makes it so special?
Because there's a lot of weird animals smiling on it. And also it made the song and we all signed it. I put together some pieces so we can get that going.
Yes, we're all going to sign this puzzle.
It's already featured on the Around the NFL Instagram page, I believe, this puzzle.
Mm-hmm. So
the iconic Connie Weird Animals puzzle that she put together during one of her many off hours a couple weeks back. That's the prize. Plus, maybe you'll be on the show.
Purchased by Gonzo, too. So Gonzo's touched it with his own hands.
And Aura.
Yep. Is Gonzo now, at this point, aware of the song contest?
He is.
Oh,
yeah, he was like, I saw something about songs. Yeah. So
does he know he's been
dialed in? No, I don't think he knows.
Not a tweet.
All right. So, all right, Erica, do you have any thoughts, questions? Before
no, we can get.
We're all
going.
On the same page with
yeah.
this. Got to stick the landing on this one. Mm-hmm. So we're going to listen to the 5 songs again. We'll talk about the songs after each one, but do not reveal what your choice is. And then,
well, we have to rank them 1 to 5.
Or no, just your winner.
Oh, okay,
just your winner. Here is song one. Who is the name of the artist?
This is.
And where are they from?
Dylan Stein from Denver. Number one.
This one's for Dylan. So that's the St. Lucia banger that we like. Gorgeous.
Little, it's got Tame Impala, maybe?
Little
even
tame-y.
Like a little MGMT, maybe?
Probably
a little MGMT.
Probably as strong just like a sound and production as any of them. And it reminds me the most of, and I don't know if this is a positive, of like the Damashek intro type songs.
Oh.
Oh, like Dick Banks, the one man.
Yeah, a little Dick Banksy.
Okay.
Got to think about the fact that you're going to listen to this roughly 500,000 times over the next couple of years.
Does that song have a title?
Oh, Colleen's never been on the show.
No.
So. Okay. Fine. So that was Dylan from Denver.
I like that song. Saint it reminds Lucia, me of drinking with Sessler for some reason, specifically.
Man, that's not a bad thing.
I can see a
favorite of mine, too.
It's a bit of a woozy banger.
A woozy banger.
Mm-hmm. All right, number two.
Number two is Joe D. Prospero from Jersey.
Joe
okay.
D. Love this dude.
Her heart's as big as Philly. She likes to act so silly. We like to call her Tiny Box.
Tiny Box, Tiny Box.
Tiny Box.
I have four words to make your day.
Tiny Box is here, Tiny Box is here.
The history is rich, hooray.
Tiny Box is here, Tiny Box is here.
Guitar.
This feels like a sitcom.
Right.
And I'm like coming in, I'm spilling coffee on myself.
It very much sounds like an intro.
You turn to the camera and smile.
The tone is correct.
All right, that song is Connie Fox is Here by Joe D. from Jersey.
More great production, too, like the little touches. It was
great flourishes.
Very professional.
And Joe, you know what? I don't want to say it. I'll say afterwards.
All right.
Song number three.
All right. Three is Greg Scamato from L.A.
Paisan.
Some folks call her Connie Fox, others say it's Tiny Box, but no matter, you know who they mean.
Who they mean?
She's here today on ATN, talking with your favorite man, NFL's lone wolf. Her name's Colleen. Colleen Wolf.
Connie Fox. I do really like that one.
That one's beautiful.
Little Soggy Bottom Boys.
Soggy Bottom Boys. Again, amazing production value.
You know.
And it's its own thing.
I like it. It's its own thing.
Artist
it sounds like
LA.
An intro for Wes, I would say. That's the only maybe small.
Interesting.
Small,
I knew my name would come up because you guys think I'm a hayseed and I always talk with grass coming out of my teeth. So anytime
you do,
any
you are dressed like
country,
Larry the Cable Guy.
You're wearing a Hugapoo's hat right now, too. Which
I know.
Perfect.
I picked the right show for it.
Wes is Southern.
What are these tall buildings?
What are your thoughts about that country song, Mark?
I liked it a lot. I mean, also the artist is right here in Los Angeles, so if I were to vote against it, he could potentially find my
house. Well, it's also, these are the finalists. Like, there's no more trash talking.
That's a great
coming. All five of these are great.
All deserving.
Great. Right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I hate to be a stickler, but to me, it's a little bit more bluegrass and not country.
That's fair. Okay.
I'm going to say it's bluegrass.
I like the twang.
I'm going to change it to bluegrass country.
Little bent note beauty.
And Mark, you'll appreciate this because you sent me a GIF recently. I'm in a very good Los Angeles place right now because I did a late night viewing of Magnolia last night, which is one of the great LA movies. Mm. So the fact that he's a local guy,
local artist. I'm happy for you that you watched that.
Watch out for those frogs coming from the sky today.
Yeah, the ending felt a little unnecessary.
That was a little off.
That was very nice.
I've never seen it. I have no idea what you're talking
about. It's
great. Okay, Paul Thomas Anderson. Maybe you should watch the movie.
Dial in.
Just skip the first 15 minutes. You'd be fine.
And the last 15.
Not really, but you would.
It's like the 3 hours in between.
Yeah, it's got some good stuff, couched in the middle.
All right, we have two more. Here's the fourth option.
Number four is Sam Stringfield from North Carolina.
Why is Magnolia catching heat? Go ahead.
No, I love it.
Steel Magnolias, maybe?
Connie's here. She's going to piece it all together for us. Finally, someone we can trust. Connie's here. Why are all these animals smiling? What could they be hiding? Connie Fox will solve the puzzle.
Oh my God! I mean,
he is probably the most deserving of the prize because he was clairvoyant enough to put that in the lyrics had no idea that
point.
Was the prize.
Ooh, yeah.
Also, it sounds like he's had a few to drink.
He sounds like he's three. He's like three bands into the Yacht Rock show.
Yeah, that's
makes
true.
Makes me kind of like him more.
Like he tapped into the Colleen weirdness.
Yeah.
He really did. Two things on that.
I wish we could have.
Am I missing something? What is the call? Why are these animals? Is that from one of your YouTube videos?
It's the puzzle.
It's the puzzle with the weird animals.
Right.
Oh, why are these animals? Oh.
Why are they smiling? What are they hiding?
Oh, yes. Okay. And also, multiple people on Twitter thought that that was our good buddy Jason Zumwalt. But it is not Jason. It sounds like
it could be him, yeah.
But it is Sam Stringfield from North Carolina.
It's a bit of a Harry Chapin feel to it.
Good call, Wes.
Totally. Yep.
All right. And the final entry.
This is from Rick M. from Seattle.
Moranis?
Wolf. There's a wolf, can't blow your house down. There's a wolf, there's a wolf, there's a wolf, can't blow your house down. Don't mess with her, don't do it, don't do it, stupid. Don't mess with her, don't do it, don't do it, stupid.
That one slaps.
It slaps.
It captures, I think, like the last two, I would say, capture the essence of you in different ways.
Yeah.
Very
like,
different
sort
ways.
Of like ways that are unspoken. Like that that song makes me think of Connie Wolf. Even before the
rare Connie Wolf.
Connie Wolf. Even before the words come in. Connie Wolf.
Connie Tiny Box Wolf. That is, what's that song, X? I always like the title as well.
There's a Wolf, parentheses, stupid. Yeah. Stupid.
All right.
It's fantastic.
That's great.
All right. Now, everybody, you have a note card and a marker all in right. front of you, and it is time. I want you to hide your answers. Remember, okay. It's like old Scantron test.
Cover your paper.
Cover your papers. When you're done, flip it over, and here are your choices. I don't want anyone to mistakenly choose the wrong one. Dylan from Denver, the woozy banger in the St. Lucia vibe. Joe D from Jersey. Connie Fox is here. Greg S. from L.A., the Bluegrass Connie song. Sam Stringfield from North Carolina. Connie Fox is here, the puzzle song. Rick M. from Seattle, There's a Wolf, Stupid. Okay, I got a vote too. So
I feel like Colleen's vote should count double. That's the one I'm most curious about, at least.
I feel like the listeners, though, their vote should probably carry more weight because they got to listen to it.
Are you guys, did you just put a number or?
I just wrote down based off what you just told us.
Okay.
I believe I had the number right.
I wrote the number.
Okay, you don't need to fold.
Do you want our names on
it? I don't want it folded. Just want a nice.
You're out of luck.
Smooth, a little late in the game now.
Do you want our names attached to this?
No.
Okay.
You could speak afterwards why you chose what you chose.
Okay.
This is the moment, guys.
Oh, my God. I'm nervous.
Did Erica walk in here?
She did.
Missed it.
She's very
with a
cunning.
Folded paper.
All right. Let me do mine. Okay. Here we go. All right. Here we go.
This is why I was late. I missed some sleep because of it. I was thinking about it all night.
Now, this, I am going Jeff Probst Survivor style right now.
Okay.
I have each of the votes. I'm going to shuffle them up. I don't know who the winner is. I don't even know who the listener's choice was.
You would like to be a Probst, wouldn't you?
Oh,
a host of Survivor.
I stand in awe of your integrity throughout this whole process.
Thank you, Christopher. Hey, will I know which one the listener is?
Yeah.
Did you note that? Okay, I would like to know that. All right, here we go. It's time. Wes, can you tabulate?
Oh, I'd be happy to. What an honor.
Vote one.
No hanging chads, please, Wes.
In the Connie Fox theme song sweepstakes, goes to number four, Sam Stringfield. Connie Fox is here, the puzzle song. Vote two. Remember, seven votes total. Any tiebreaker, Connie breaks it.
Okay.
So Connie gets a vote and the potential tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
So she really does have kind of potentially two votes. Greg.
It's fair.
What is that?
This is the listener's vote. What is that drawing? The listeners have selected Rick M. from Seattle. There's a Wolf.
Whoa.
Stupid.
Ooh,
okay.
Was it close, Ricky?
Very till the end, and then Rick M. really
ran
really
away.
Between what? Between five and what?
Wait,
five and okay. No,
three. She was about to say three. Okay, here we go.
We can know what the vote was.
She's been muzzled.
There's only one Probst in the room. Respect the Probst.
All right, so we got one for five, one for four.
Throw three. Again, whoa. Sam Stringfield, Connie Fox is here. The puzzle song.
Wes, your style of
2-1.
Tallying this up is interesting.
Now, Greg, you're good at math. So we'll know at what point does it is it a win if someone has...
Four.
Four?
I mean,
when they have more votes,
play it out.
Than votes
than are left.
It. Yes.
So right now we have four
We're
cards.
A ways away from the magic number.
Okay, vote four.
Don't get into an Andy Reid clock scenario here.
Check.
Four as two, five as one. The rest are in trouble right now.
Yep.
Need something.
Need something right now.
Big
next
spot.
Vote. To be a part of show history. Number four, Sam Stringfield.
The puzzle song.
And now, Sam Stringfield. Stringfield.
In a commanding position. Up two with,
commanding.
Four, with four to go. Four to go.
But he gets one more and it's over, right?
Right.
No, it would, it, there could still
okay,
be a tie
you,
between
Greg.
That and the
four. If you have four,
this well, is why Schrager loves him.
Four out of seven.
Oh yeah.
No.
Let's wait. Take math out.
I was thinking that Connie got double.
There's three votes and there's one for the rap song, so one. He could still tie, but he has to win out.
I'm saying one more. He's he's got it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Take it to the bank.
Bad job, baby.
Five's gonna need a massive come from
I was thinking the Connie double.
The next vote. The fifth of. How many?
You should
actually seven
find
votes
that.
Total.
This is where you need to. Jeff Probst would know what the answer is to build a system.
Probst doesn't know. Number whoa. Five.
Ooh.
Rick M. There's a wolf.
That's got to be stupid.
Stupid.
No, I would
this
not.
This isn't a 28-3 scenario for Sam.
I would not have such good handwriting. This is
right.
Erica, I believe.
So with two votes left, let's break it down.
That's Colleen. Colleen. Well, we can say who we voted for. Colleen voted for number five.
Greg, there's only one Probst in the room.
Possibly allowed Dan
Greg
to go through with the exercise.
Man, stepping
favor.
On his toes. Oh, my God. I knew it was Colleen immediately as well.
Oh, well, don't you want to tell the listener?
It's what we talk about after.
After.
Amazing.
Yes. Oh, my God.
I love it.
So eliminated, unfortunately, Dylan from Denver, number one. Joe D from Jersey, number two, eliminated. Greg S from LA, the bluegrass song, also eliminated.
Travesty.
It's down.
That's a really good one, though.
I know.
It's down to Stringfield. Connie Fox is here, the puzzle song, and there's a wolf, parenthetical, stupid. Close parenthetical. Mm. Here we go. The sixth of seven votes. Bluegrass song.
Whoa.
That's Wes's vote.
Absolutely. It was the best one.
Now, this
it
is what it
comes
down to.
It all comes down to one.
If this is anything other than, well, if it's the Sam Stringfield song, it's over. But if it's any other song besides Rick M., it's also over, and it goes to Stringfield.
Wait.
Here we go.
If it's five, then there's a tie.
Yes.
Right.
This needs to be Rick M. to force a tie. Ricky, this is it.
Scoreboard is really working here.
Will it be Connie Fox is here, the puzzle song, or there's a wolf stupid? We're about to find out.
Wes looks nervous.
I'm just interested.
This
Dan's
is
got me, Dan's got me on the edge of my seat here.
Here it is. The final vote in the Connie Fox theme song sweepstakes goes to number five.
Five.
We've got a tie.
Oh.
Rick M. from Seattle. There's a wolf stupid.
Wow.
What a comeback. And you know what? As Greg ruined, we know that Colleen voted for number five.
I did.
Greg ruined.
Totally ruined what would have been a great tiebreaker scenario. So, Colleen, this is now your decision to make. Are you going to double up? And it makes sense that you would, but maybe you would see that the Connie Fox is here puzzle song really pulled extremely well. The listeners chose your song. That's interesting.
You know, I am very susceptible to peer pressure, but in this scenario, I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to double down, and I'm going with number five.
Wow, and there it is.
Yeah.
There's a wolf. Stupid by Rick M. from Seattle. That is your Connie Fox theme song sweepstakes winner. Congratulations to Rick. What a moment.
What a
you
comeback.
Are simpatico with the listeners here.
What a moment that I ruined.
That works.
it's all right, Greg. But it did take a little air out of the blue.
I mean, they built a coalition, number five. You know, they got the listeners. That's broad-based. Yes. They got the song. They got the person the song's about to get on board.
That's the way to look at it.
You build a boat by, you know, getting different genres of people.
I like that the song is vaguely threatening, too, because it's like, don't mess with her.
Yep.
Like, I don't know what's going to happen if you do mess
right.
with her.
On Global Women's Day, especially, for that to be
international,
song,
but that's... Feels, you can,
okay,
you
isn't
can,
that the same kind of, though?
I don't know. You're Jeff Probst. You
should
can
I try to get him on the
entire
phone?
Entire holiday as
yeah, you... let's get Rick on the phone, and you guys are right, because although my vote... all of Wes, you had the Bluegrass song, I guess, obviously, then Mark,
I had number four.
And yep. Erica... I think must have voted for Sam Stringfield.
And that
song.
Would have been my second choice if there was like...
You got a feel for him because holy. It looked like he had it in the bag.
Well, had you read the cards in a different order, it would look his he would have had the great comeback that ended in a tie, but it looks like he was the Atlanta Falcons versus the Patriots.
Yeah, a little bit of a 28-3 vibe for Sam, but we love your song. And like I've said, even though there's only one winner, and it is Rick M. from Seattle, there's a Wolf Stupid, parenthetical. You'll hear some of these songs again, but there's only one official theme song.
Right.
There's only one person that gets the puzzle, the autograph puzzle, and only one man that potentially gets to join the Around the NFL podcast heroes right now as Connie dials in. Colleen, final thoughts on what's been really, I'm sure, a heady day.
The ride of your life.
Yeah, it's really been a stressful sort of experience. Like I told Ricky Hollywood, I didn't really ask for this, but then once it was bestowed upon me, I felt it was my duty to pick the best song, and I think that's what we did here today.
Mm. Now, you are a noted hip-hop head. How huge was that he went down that road using kind of a what was a really solid hip-hop beat, had a good flow to it? That must have been really a deal-maker for you. In
well, it was like he knew what I was thinking. It was like he was one with my brain. And I like the vibes that whole song casts. I want that to be sort of the atmosphere when I walk in
right,
every
it's like
single
a walk-up.
Room.
It's like a walk-up song. And many other people tried hip-hop, and none of them made the finals.
Mm-mm.
So you had to be good.
I like that we had so many different styles, so many different types of songs.
Let's talk to Rick. Rick is on the line. Rick
wow,
from Seattle, the winner of the Connie Fox theme song challenge. Congratulations, Rick. Welcome to the Around the NFL podcast.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you.
Tell us how it happened, how the song came to you, and you know, how excited you are right now, which I imagine is quite.
So basically, I just heard the beat first, and then... I just came up with it in about like 30 minutes, and then I just recorded it on my phone, and I sent it.
Are you somebody that has
a simple process?
Do you have like a hip hop background? Are you a recording artist yourself, or is this just something you do in your own time?
Yeah, so I kind of do rap, pop, all kind of music.
Ooh.
Very good. So we're
dealing
with the ringer.
You want to throw a plug in here? I mean, why not?
Yeah, where can people hear more of your stuff?
No, I actually haven't released anything yet, but.
Well, yes, you have.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's my first song. Yeah.
It's a banger. It's a number one hit.
What's it like? What's it like living in a submarine? According to the sound of your connection.
Oh, it's because I'm driving right now, so you're on speaker, you're on Bluetooth.
I mean, we actually are pretty lucky. We just caught him without any warning. I believe, and here he is.
Rick, how do you feel about puzzles?
About what?
Puzzles?
Well, Rick doesn't know. One of the prizes you get is the autographed cat puzzle that Colleen
Jigsaw
put together.
Puzzles, yeah.
We all signed it, and we're going to send
Jigsaw?
That your way.
I don't think there's any cats on
awesome.
It.
Yeah, I haven't done puzzles in like 10 years, but I'm here.
Nobody has.
Yeah, your prize is you get to put together a 700-piece puzzle. No, but in all seriousness, Rick, it was awesome. We had so many great competitors, and your song, we loved it immediately. And you are, I imagine, as a fan of the podcast forever now, tied to the show, and you're a part of the show's history.
And you won the popular vote.
You won the fan vote, and you won Colleen's vote, the two most integral votes.
It came down to a tiebreaker, but Colleen got two votes, essentially, and she chose your song.
Yeah, Did I tie with the Animal Collective guy, or who was
you
it?
Did.
Animal Collective.
You tied with the Connie Foxes here with the French horn and talking about the puzzle and the
Animal Collective guy.
I think Animal Collective played the first Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, everybody was great, so I'm just happy that the band chose mine.
Is it honored just to be nominated? You know.
Exactly. All right, Rick. And are you a Seahawks fan?
Yeah, big Seahawks fan.
Do you want to drop a Go Hawks before you sign off?
Let's see. Should I do the Russell Wilson voice?
Yeah, please.
Please, if you got it.
All right. Go Hawks.
Very good.
Amazing.
Rick, thank you. And thanks, Erica, man. We'll be in touch with you about getting you your amazing prize. Rick from Seattle. Cool. Congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Wow. What a competition it's been, and what a journey that we have now completed. And it is, I think, the only way to sign off the show. If anyone has any other thoughts they want to throw in.
I would take the puzzle and like hide it inside of like all the pieces, a giant bag of cocaine. So he's getting a little more than he bargained.
Well, that's quite illegal, though. I mean, that puts him in danger as well because
puts
it's
Tamposi in a weird spot.
High-grade narcotic.
Are you going to? Who's going to get it? Who's going
to? I don't have access to a huge bag.
You're also working
of
on the assumption that he would want the cocaine, which we know nothing
I think he
of
could sell it for a lot of money, and so suddenly the prize is
right. Now you're turning him into a drug mule, essentially.
We should definitely put it in some flour, though, now.
The borax.
We're learning more about what Mark's been doing.
No, just, you know what? Hours. No, just ship it up through LAX. It's so easy to get it through. LAX is so convenient and easy for everyone. Just have no problems.
All right, Rick. Well, be on the lookout and open it in private. All right. Thanks for listening to the Around the NFL podcast presented by Intuit QuickBooks, official sponsor of the NFL. Let's say goodbye and play out the new official theme song of Colleen Wolf. This is Dan Hansa signing off for The Quiet Storm, The Mailman, Connie Fox, The Tiny Box, The Old Boss, and Rick Hollywood behind the glass. Till Monday. Hit it, Rick.
606, baby.
I mean, when the bass drops.
There's a wolf. There's a wolf.
I gotta go play this in the parking lot.
It's growing on me pretty fast, too.
Should start every Thursday night football like that.
It's way better than the Priyanka song. And I like the Priyanka song.
This will get on TNF one time, I predict.
Yes.
It better.
Yep.
The parenthetical put it over the top.
It did. Don't be stupid.